Right. Good morning, everyone. it's lovely to be with you. My name is Ruan, for those of you who don't know me. Actually Afrikaans, so here and there I might get an E or an R wrong. Please bear with me. Have mercy, just like Jesus had on you. But it's really a blessing to be here. We know Rian and Helen. Yes, for how long? When did you guys arrive in Wellington? Is it 2000 early? Yeah, eh? Yeah, 2005 or what? 2000. So we've known one another since then. Before they were married, we saw the twinkle in the eye. And then as they got married and the children, and it's really lovely to actually be able to know people through, you know, all the different seasons. And obviously we all have more seasons to come, but to be able to see how God works with us and molds us and fashions us. And that's a privilege of walking with one another. And that's part of the privilege that we have as a church, is you don't just engage in a relationship with Jesus on your own, you start walking with other people and you see how God works in you and in them. And we get to celebrate together. And I can tell you that Rian is not the man that he was. we're not supposed to make lots of fun about him now since he's not here to defend himself. But I can give one. That just one. You'll appreciate it. He's a passionate guy, eh? I mean, you can't take that away from him, passionate. And so he's from Bloemfontein. So we have a youth camp. And we're at this youth camp up in the mountains there in Wellington. And, I mean, it's one of those passionate moments. He's got the guitar. And at one stage, he just says, I just feel God says, spring for Jesus. Spring for Jesus. And we were all yelling, spring for Jesus. So for the English people, that's directly translated, jumping for Jesus from Afrikaans, spring for Jesus. But we love them and thank you so much for having us here. I'm a child of God, been serving Jesus since 1995. I'm a husband, a beautiful lady there in black and white. But she adds lots more color to my life. Her name is, the proper name is Wilhelmina, call her Ina. So when we went to the doctor, the gynecologist, when we had our first child, and he writes down Wilhelmina, he looks up at her and he says, I'm married to Wilhelmina, my daughter is Wilhelmina. How do you want your birth to take place? And she's spicy, she's zesty, there's lots of life. And so we've got three boys as well, they're up there. And then I'm fortunate to be part of a new church plant. Some of you might have heard we're in Paul. So we're now in between. We live in Melkbos. We're driving through to Paul. We're looking still for a house, so you can pray with us, or if you've got a friend or so that needs to rent out his house to family of five or so, let me know. We need to be out end of December. What a terrible time to move, huh? And then next year we kind of will officially launch. So we're already gathering. We're gathering in an old prison cells. This lovely story of Paul and Silas. Singing at midnight, and it's really a blessing to be part of that, and to actually join, because we, and this is where you see the blessing of being part of a larger group, that we can do this together as Josh, Jen, now meeting in Paul, and lovely to see the new life, and they already, and so we want to instill it from the beginning, that we're not just church planting, we're going. So I'm here, they there, tonight Cassie's in Sunnydale PM, just like you, yeah, we need to walk with Jesus, and that means going for Jesus as well. Some of you are going here in Edgemead, and some of you need to go somewhere else, and let the Lord send you, ne? But the word that I just a sentence that I heard as I was preparing for this time was, the tide is changing. The tide is changing. Like I said, I've got three boys. My oldest boy, we at some stage was at the ocean, playing on the rocks. And especially this time, there's some beautiful moments during the day. You know, we had 2-3 days in this week. It's just absolutely stunning. You feel, you know, when you kind of wet with the salt water and the sun is just baking on you, kind of in the background you hear the whoosh of the water, and it's a kid playing here and there, and it's just lovely. And you looking at your children and they playing, and he's unaware of what's taking place around him. He's engaged in the little little fish and the little sea stars and the little, all the stuff. And it's, oh, Dad, look at this, and the other boys. And then at some stage, unknown to him, the tide changed. And so the water was coming in. The water level was rising up. And, I mean, it's still fine or so, but at some stage, I need to, new parents, if you can. Probably it works better probably with boys than with girls. But I've got a whistle. And if I whistle, shopping centers, far, so if I whistle, the heads pop up like meerkatte. So I don't have to scream, I just take a quick, and then they, so I whistle, and he, head pops up, and he's looking around him, and oh shucks, the tide has changed. So now he's on this rock, and I say, okay, come Evan, come, I'll catch you, just jump, because there's water. I mean, it's for me, like, you know, about deep here, but he's hesitant. Says, no, I can't jump. No, and it's the water, and it's no jump. And everything, I'm just asking him to jump. There is, from my side, no faith, no trust in his ability to how far he'll jump, how good he can swim, how able he is to. No, he just needs to pretty much, he can actually just fall. I'm there to catch him. All he's looking at is his own ability. Can he swim through this majestic waters, you know, that's coming. I mean, it's this. But in his mind, obviously, it's, and it's the sound, and it's all, and I'm just saying, jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll. And I was just trusting in my strength, in my ability, not in his. All I needed him was to believe in me. And I feel that for some of you, hopefully most of you, and even hopefully for the congregation, that it is the changing of the tide. And it's not necessarily a new word. It's already changed, but you're becoming more and more aware of it. And the Lord's calling you to take that step, to just jump. God is not looking at your strength, not looking at your ability. He's not looking at how well you can do it, how strong you can do it, how hard you can do it. He just wants you to jump. He is looking at himself, his plan, his ability, and that's why he's calling you. He saved you, not you yourself. He looked at himself and then he said, believe in me. He looked at himself and said, just ask for forgiveness. I am well able. Just imagine for a moment if my son could stand there right beside me, if he can look through my eyes and think with my mind as I was speaking to him, what would he have believed? What would he have thought? Yeah, it's so easy. He'll catch me. Do you believe what God believes about his word? And I'm speaking to Ruan here as well. Tell you in this in-between time with the church plant, every now and again you're wondering, oh, are we going to have a place? Are we going to, and it's the timing, and it's this, that, and there's a lot of stress factors and a lot of things around, and relationships, and you've got to work, and you can't just have a coffee. You need to plan, because you need to drive an hour, get there, drive, all of this inconvenience, because the tide has changed. But it's God's plan. It's God's will. And if I can believe what God believes, if I can say that, about his word. Man, how quickly will you receive forgiveness? How quickly will you find the joy? How quickly, if you believe what God believes. Huh, husbands? You think your wives, sometimes, I sometimes wish I could do that. You know, we had Kevin saying, I don't play golf, but I also have a lovely wife. And I sometimes wish I could give my eyes to her so that she can see how I see her. And vice versa. Probably the best gift that we can give our children is if we could just instill what we see for them. How would they act different if they have our vision, our mind, our heart? You know what God wants to do? He wants to do that with us. And He does that by giving us His Spirit to come and live in us. He's not in the box like we prayed this morning. He's in our hearts. Wider. And so, and I especially want to say, I don't know how many of you do believe in Jesus as your Savior. Or, you know, maybe some of you are just checking out or you're visiting here this morning. And part of my message might sound as if it's to, you know, Christians, but it's not. It's for everyone. I love the Bible. If you go read in the Bible, you don't, just go do a word search. And it says, whoever believes in me, will be saved. Whosoever does, Jesus was able to include everyone. In one way it was very narrow, in one way it was very wide. He came for everyone. And so the tide is changing for every single one of us. And God is so able to help you, to save you. We got those encouragements in the worship time. Every single one. In fact, I hope for those behind you, those next to you. Can we do that for a moment? Maybe you don't know the person next to you. Introduce yourself. But I want to ask that you pray for them and say, Lord, I pray that this message, these words will bless him or her and their colleagues, their neighbor, a family member that they are trusting God for. That's where I'm aiming at. Not just for us sitting here. I'm aiming just behind you. Just next to you. Where you're going this week. Can we quickly do that? So let's pray for that. Just a quick prayer, not a long prayer. Introduce yourself maybe and just say, Lord, I pray that this message would bless him or her and the people they know. Wonderful. Lord, we do pray for that, Lord, that this message won't just stay with us, Lord, but that the fruit of it will touch people around us, Lord. It would be healing for nations, healing for neighborhoods, healing for families. By your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit. We trust in you, your ability. Man, when I think of that, that excites me. When I think of God's ability, it was His plan to save me. It wasn't just I need it alone. It's God wanted. God wanted. I like that. God didn't just need to save me. He wanted to save me. He wants to save. He wants to see us fulfill His plans and His purposes to bear fruit. He's a good Father. He's really a good Father. So the tide is changing. I just click again on that screen, I think. There we are. All right, in the hands of your Father, in the hands of your Father, we're going to touch on the potter and the clay. For many of you, you're quite familiar with this picture of God or this moment in the story of the prophet. But I trust that it will bring us into this place of where, as God is changing things, that we will allow Him to mold us. So just quickly look at this little video clip. Oh, is this sound?
God spoke to Jeremiah one day, and He said, go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to talk to you there. So Jeremiah said, so I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he brought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred potter's hands. And you know, sometimes that's how our lives feel. Something comes along in life and just totally messes up our life. I love the story of the potter and the clay because he didn't stop there. As Jeremiah was watching the potter, so he made it again. I seemed good to the potter to make it. And then God began to speak to Jeremiah. And he said, "Cannot I do this with you? For as clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel." God was speaking to an entire nation at that time, as they had wandered away and turned to idols, and their world was falling apart. Yet God was saying to them, if you just turn over yourself to me, I can remake you again, just like the potter. He was saying that to a whole nation. How much more could he say that to us as individuals? So let me ask you, could this clay ever fix itself? So why is it that we think that we can fix ourselves, or that we have to fix ourselves or make things right before we come back to God? When in reality, we never really can fix ourselves, not really. And all God wants us to do is just turn the mess over to Him. And just turn it over to Him, and so that He can put things back together. Because see, He's the potter. He's really good at that.
So see, He's the potter. He's really good at that. I like that. How many of you do pottery here? Are there any people? Do you? Okay, cool. Cool. I had an aunt that did pottery. And when I was primary school, we went through Pick and Pay and I saw these Superman mugs. I thought, man, I wanted that Superman mug. It's like printed Superman. And then my aunt said, she wants to make us mugs. What kind of mugs do we want? I want a Superman mug. So she said, yes. Yeah, I'm expecting a white mug, red, blue, all this. Then I got this mug. It was a clay. And underneath they just said S for Superman. I was so disappointed. I envisioned this Superman mug that was somehow going to translate its strength to my little, you know, eight-year-old body, and I got a mug that. But pottery's got actually wonderful things that you can do and stuff like that. I do want to encourage you, if you have the right now media access to that, most of us do, there's a video series on the pot and the clay. Some wonderful just principles and things out of that for your self-study that you can go and do. But let's get to Jeremiah 18, verse 1. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. A beautiful picture. We've got songs about the potter and the clay. I'm the clay, you the potter. And the whole image of that, as we see in the Bible, God reveals Himself in a number of different ways that we could in some way understand. You know, He reveals Himself as a shepherd, as a king, as a father, He reveals Himself in these number of different ways, bridegroom. And all these pictures kind of is for us to understand His heart. He's not a bridegroom alone. He's not a shepherd alone. He's not a king alone. He's all of these together. If you have to give like a definition to God, it's, and they ask you, now, is He a potter or is He a shepherd? You say, yes. He's all of them. And so as we highlight this morning with the potter, He is your creator. He creates. He didn't just create the heavens and the earth, but He created you and me. And so we are all, in some ways, children of God in terms of creation. Now, God wants us to spiritually become children of God. He's the Father of creation, you could say, but He wants us to be His children by faith in Jesus Christ. He's your creator. And if He's created you, that means you are His. And we were speaking about having a will of our own, and God gives us that freedom that we can do as we please in some sense. We can choose Him or not, but He's made His choice. See, I come back to that little analogy of just with my son. As God leans on He's chosen you. And if you want to know how can you know that? The Bible puts up a word. The word, Jesus Christ. In Jesus, I hear you are chosen by the Father. I hear I want you by the Father. That's everything about Jesus. He came to personify that message. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He was anointed for that. That was the purpose. It was as if creation, mankind was saying, does He love me? Does He not? You know, He loves me. He loves me not. That little picture with the flower. And God says, okay, I need to convince them. I need to show them. I need to send them a letter. I need to give them a message. But the best way is not just, you know, a little envelope. Let me send a message in form of a person. Let me personify my message. Jesus. That's where we read in Hebrews 1. He says, in times past He spoke through the prophets, but now He speaks through His Son, Jesus Christ. God is still speaking through His Son. It's Jesus. And what He's saying is, I want you. I've come for you. I'm forming you. And I want you to be like Him. So He's the potter. And that means He's created us and He will form us. Just click there on the screen again, please. There we are. But the clay was marred and spoiled. It's interesting that you see there, He says, go down to the potter's house and there I will speak to you. Any of you have gone to a place and all of a sudden you feel God speak to you? He's using the image of what you're seeing. He's using the moment that you are witnessing and He speaks into your heart. That's what He did with me there at the ocean with me and my boy. It feels to me like God is constantly speaking to me when I'm with my boys. It's like it's this double message going. I speak to them and I hear it coming. It's the double-edged sword kind of thing, usually, you know. But this, He says there, He's busy, the potter is busy, and the clay is marred, spoiled. Something happened to the clay that it's causing it not to fulfill its purpose anymore. Maybe broken, cracked. And so the potter doesn't do away with the clay. He doesn't say, ach no, let's start with a fresh batch. He says, no, He uses the same clay. And what God is speaking to Israel there, that we can in a principle form take for us, is God says, I want to do with you as the potter does with the clay. I want to again use you. I'm not throwing you away. You might be cracked, disqualified, unable, broken. Whatever the world puts on you, whatever in reality has happened to you, that is not a disqualifying factor for me to use you, because I'm not looking at your brokenness. I'm not looking at your ability. I'm looking at my ability. That is good news to my heart. Dad, I'll jump. That brings faith, eh? So it's marred. And then He says He made it again into another vessel. Now, this is good news. But it's inconvenient news. Because that means that you're going to change. You're going to look different. You're going to speak different. So now I'm back in Paul. Melkbos. We were quite English there. Although I'm Afrikaans boy. So now I've got to think Afrikaans again. So it does come easier, but it's a whole new group. It's you've got to change your approach. It's a different kind of person. So the way you bring the gospel is slightly different. It's the same Jesus, but you've got to have different angles. We've got to look at how we live differently again. We've got to change. New team. New everything. I was used in Malkwas. I was used to that, you know, all the bases are covered. We had kind of settled teams and so on. We've got great guys in Paul. But now I've got to remember, oh, no, I need to organize the worship for Sunday help. And so we're handing that over. But initially, I'm like, oh, shucks, I forgot yesterday. Tell the one guy, you know what? I forgot to speak about community serving. Do you think you guys would be willing to? Now I know it's Saturday already. Nobody, like, oh, I need to change. I need to. And it's inconvenient. It's stretching. But God has spoken. The tide has changed. For you, it might mean change of how you look at things, how you look at your neighbors, how you look at the community, how you look at the people in the church. Because God wants to use you. And so He wants to form you and me. He made it as it seemed good to the potter. That's another, oh, good news. It's God, as He's fashioning me, as He's fashioning you, He's not thinking, oh, you know, how can I get everyone to say, jeez, God, you could have done something better with that. How can I get the whole universe to look at this and say, hey, that's mediocre. That's, no, God is looking and He's shaping you and me in ways where it will bring glory. Where in Ephesians we read, it says, it will display wisdom to the principalities and powers. God is fashioning the church, you as an individual. He's fashioning you to as the potter, as it's good to the potter. Something good. We see that throughout the Bible. Genesis, and He made. And it was good. When God's busy making, it's never bad. It's good. Now, it might feel bad here and there, but it is good from His point of view. So He made it. He made as it seemed good to the potter. I know some of you, you know, there are different seasons. Some of them are easy. Some of them are difficult. Some of them are accompanied by disillusionment, disappointment, all the discouragement. Yes, I was at some stage. Before we heard that we were going to Paul, you can ask, you know, I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I had a twitching eye since the beginning of the year, actually. We had a sabbatical that turned out at a, what do you call it, a nightmare radical. We had a series of unfortunate events on. When I prayed, I needed to go and rest to have vision for Malkwas. Because I don't have a clue that we're going to Paul. Vision for, I don't see anything in my, so I'm getting more and more nervous. And you know how Kim is, you know, visionary so. So the day we went on sabbatical, Kim's preaching at Malkwas and he says, Ruan's going to come back envisioned, empowered. And, you know, it's just, so as the sabbatical goes on, I'm getting more and more nervous because there's no vision, there's no power, there's just a twitching eye. I'm crying, I'm bad, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. And emotionally, it's getting, that hole is getting deeper and deeper. And especially, and I'm saying it in some joking manner, but guys, this was, I was driving and I would just start crying. I would just, my poor wife. Sometimes she also just cried. And at some stage, I was saying, Lord, what? Am I going to make this? Or am I going to become part of these statistics that, you know, pastors just fade out? Should I go speak to Andrew and the guys? I'm not cut out for this. And I remember one day we had a bit of a holiday away in Cyrus, Cedarburg. And it was this cold water. Now it's winter, July. So it's the family time. My brother-in-law, we go hiking, and there's these big rock pools. And I know that water is cold. I don't like cold water. We say, let's go jump in. I'm like, yeah. So my brother-in-law jumps in, and now a bit of competition gets in. I need to. And the boys are, go dad. I'm like, it's cold. I remember in emotion, I was at a place where, yuck, and I stood there on the ledge and I said, Lord, this for me is like a prophetic picture. I ask you for a suddenly. So I jump into that water. I know it's suddenly going to be very cold. But I pray that you'd answer me like that. Just like a skit gebeki. I jumped in. Suddenly it was very cold. I got up there and nothing happened. About a month later, suddenly God started to speak. And it was like the break of dawn into a very dark night. I don't know how to describe that. In fact, that it was very, very heavy. All of a sudden, it was light. My heart couldn't. I was grabbing for some stability. All of a sudden, I just knew. And he started to speak about Paul. And he didn't just speak to me. He spoke to Kim and Andrew and the guys, everyone. So we came together, and it was just this convergence of confirmation. And we knew that we knew. And just lifted. And I do want to just speak some hope to some of you that do battle anxiety or depression, or, you know, you're just in that moment of the discouragement. God can speak suddenly. And I want to pray for you for that this morning. Just that God would come. It's like when the tide changes, the tide turns. You don't know exactly when it turns, but suddenly it's too high. It's already turned. It's already, God has already spoken something. It's already happening suddenly. Daniel was praying. The Bible says he was fasting and praying for 21 days. And an angel appears to him on the 21st day. And he says, the Lord heard you the first time you prayed. Some of you are asking, Lord, when are you going to answer me? I do want to tell you that God's already answered you. The answer just needs to get to you now. We pray for that. And so he is God the potter. He is not just a potter out there that makes funny Superman mugs. No, he is your potter. He is your maker. He is your creator. He is your father. You are his creation. His beautiful, good creation that he wants to use for honorable use. We have a scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 10, and Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's in that chapter, he writes this incredible different stuff. And I love Ephesians because for me, it's almost like it's the first book. You know, Genesis, it says in the beginning. But Ephesians, it says before the world began. No, I'm just joking with that. But it's like Paul was saying, he was looking into the eternals before the beginning and after the end. God predestined us. God planned us in Jesus Christ. You go do yourself a favor. Go read through that. It's just this blessing upon blessing. God planned that we would stand before him in holiness without blemish, without any blame. It was blameless before him. That's God's plan. That's the good that he's working towards. He's forming it. You could stand before him naked and unashamed in that way. Truthfully. And so we get to Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him, in them. Again, we see that God planned. God initiated. God started. Before you were thinking of doing something good for God, he already had good plans for you and me. Before you were thinking, oh man, if I do this one deed today, one good deed, then God, way before, he's planned you. He designed you. Even all those little idiosyncrasies, you know, the personality that, you know, that makes you that odd one out. Part of that, not all of that, but part of that is that you can be a blessing to someone, even if it's to help them grow in patience and long suffering. No, you are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. It's interesting that workmanship, maybe some of you have heard it. The Greek word there is poema, where we get our word poem from. You are his poem. You are not just, you know, there to do a bunch of stuff, but it's to be someone that speaks of God through your actions, through your being, through what He has done in you, it reflects, it emanates from you, it shines. I mean, there's nothing like a beautiful poem. It just grabs the heart. It just lingers there in your heart. And sometimes you think over, I don't necessarily like long poems, but when somebody writes something beautifully, you just want to quote it. Want to share it. Hashtag. God wants to use you and me in some people's lives that they can just say, hashtag, God loves me. Hashtag, God's awesome. Because this person has come into my life. This person's life speaks of God. They are a message. They are an epistle that Paul writes about. He says, they're a letter. And isn't that like Jesus? Jesus, the living word. So if we are to become like Jesus, our lives need to speak. And our lives speak of God when our lives are in the hands of God. And on that wheel. Did you see that lady's hands? It was on the clay. It was steady. It was there. And some of us feel that that's restrictive. And in some cases, it is initially. It's restrictive. But you know why your hands need to be in? Job, you must now help me here. But it says, I say no, Job. Sorry, man. I'm thinking of your surname because we've got Afrikaans. Job, Jobby. You know, that. Like, but Ryan, all right. But he's got a new name in the congregation now. There, Jobby. Jobby, my Scarpy. All right, so. But those hands, what the clay needs to go through is the clay needs to get on the wheel, and then the clay needs to be centered. Because if everything's not centered, it's kind of all the clay flicks around the whole place. So you need to get that lump to, it needs to be restricted by the hands, pressed by the hands, so that it can be centered. And when it's centered, it just turns without any imbalances, without any stuff flying around. And guys, when we go through difficult times and God's hand is not on us, stuff fly everywhere. It hits the fan, it hits the walls, it hits everything. Yeah? It hits our children, hits our wives and our husbands. And God wants us to be in His hands so that we won't hit the wall. But it's restrictive in some sense. And we've got to learn to embrace God's hand. You know, after that centering time, now it's all peaceful. You've surrendered. You've yielded. The next thing that comes, if it's a pot, the thumb comes and it gets pressed into the center of that lump of clay. And it's not just, you know, sachkens. So it says, you know, softly. It gets pressed in there, into the center, because now it needs to get a hole in, and so that which needs to be, it needs to be filled up with whatever, wine or water. So God presses, and He shapes the whole time. And we will only celebrate God's shaping and God's molding and God's hand when we know what's in His heart and mind for us. To become like Jesus. You'll never, and I'll never be Jesus, but to become like Him. If Jesus had to live His life through you and me, how would it look like? How would it sound like? Oh, Lord, help us. Just stay on the wheel, because God is trusting in Himself to form you. All you need to be is stay on the wheel. We would kind of say the two things for this morning is the tide is changing, the wheel is turning. Where are you? In God's hands or in God's arms? And so I want to end off with just these few prayers that you can consider
as we're going to pray now. And we're going to pray. We're going to have a moment of ministry. If you're visiting, this is for a whosoever. You don't have to be a church member to be prayed for. It's for everyone, anyone. Some of you are in different stages of this change of tide, this shaping on the wheel. And you might just need somebody to pray with you. You don't know where God is going with this. You just need a prayer. What we're going to do is we're going to place our faith in God because He's placed His faith in Himself. He trusts Himself, so let's agree with God and trust Him. Father, help me to discern your hand. Help me to discern your hand. I must confess that there were times that I rebuked God's hand. I rebuked the situations that He was using to form me. I thought He was against me. But because I was fighting against Him, it felt like being against me. But just to yield to His hand. And there are some situations in our lives that God is using for His. He's using them. And so ask the Lord, Lord, help me discern your hand. Help me discern where you are shaping me. What you are doing. Before we quickly respond and say, that's of the devil. Or that's not. Isn't it amazing that some of the worst situations in your life, when you look back now, think, oh, God was busy. I look back at those times. Oh, man. God was busy shaping and molding. Father, how is this shaping me? How is this person in my life, this situation that I'm going through, how is it shaping me? You and I have got to become aware of that. Because if we are aware of it, we can agree with Him. We can receive His involvement in our life. We can say yes to what He's doing. And for some of us, God is just waiting for your yes. All stuff is hitting the wall and stuff until you say yes. What in me is resisting you now, Lord? What in me is resisting you? As I go through this, where am I fighting against you? You know what we sometimes do? We start questioning God. I want to liberate you. You can ask questions for God. You can ask Him. But you can't question Him. You can't question His intention. You can't question His heart. Because that's putting you against Him. But if you're next to Him, in a sense, God, why are you doing that? Help me understand. God, why are you doing this? It's a different heart. And so what we want to say, Lord, what in me is resisting you for me? Guys, and even Jesus went through this. Father, if at all it's possible, let this cup pass by me. There was a sense of, Lord, I don't want to go through this. Is there any other way, Father? And the Father, we don't hear a direct no, but we see out of the events following, it was no. There is no other way. Even Jesus had to be molded. Bible says in Hebrews 5 that He learned obedience through the things He suffered. He learned obedience. Jesus grew in maturity. Father, I don't understand, but I want to say, I want to stay in your hands. I don't understand this, but I want to stay in your hands. And this is where we oftentimes need to just find. Just, Lord, I don't see it right now. I don't understand it right now, but I want to stay in your hands. It's all a posture. Guys, if you want to move as God wants to move you in this community, in your workplace, in your family, just stay in His hands. Here and there might be some unpleasant things that happen. Stay in His hands and cultivate that heart. Jesus constantly, I can do nothing of myself. I don't say what I want to say. I stay in the hand of the Father, even till death. Father, I believe you are forming something good. That's like Kevin's positive confession there. I believe. I believe. Sometimes we struggle with doubt because we're not saying what we believe. There have been times that things just aren't working out. Then I would drive and I would speak out loud. People think I'm speaking over the wireless or the handheld thing. But I'm speaking. I'm saying, Lord, I believe X, Y, Z. I believe this. I believe you've called me. I believe. And you will go through that. There have been times where in church you feel like everything is going against you. And it's not, people love you so, but then this thing and then this thing. And people misunderstand. And we all have that. And you've got to go where this message to you is saying, you're not. You know, all this stuff. You're not worthy. You're not able. You're not going to get. It's not going to work out. If God said it, you've got to believe it. And then we say, Lord, I believe this. I might not see it with my physical eyes, but I believe you've called me for this. I believe you want. And if you don't have a word, you say, I believe you're doing something good. You go on the general word of God. If you've got some specifics, then you say that. You've got to believe. People came to Jesus and said, what work must we do to be saved? What can we do? And Jesus said, do the work of God. Believe on the one whom he sent. Believe. Take the jump. The tide is changing. The wheel is turning. The tide is changing. The wheel is turning. Let's close our eyes. What has God spoken into your heart in this time? What part of this message of this morning has witnessed in your heart? When I say witness, it means it's just like it just said yes in your heart. You say, yeah, that's for me. Might be a number of things. Could even be a few things that I haven't said, but God just used it to trigger something. Bring that before the Lord right now. Father, I pray as we sit here and we just consider your word, I pray that you would come and turn. Turn the tide. Turn the wheel. Just bring that about, Lord, in the hearts. Convince the hearts and minds, Lord, of your goodness.